Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
And we're back on another edition of the Michigan Recruiting Insider, and a topic that we didn't expect to be jumping into this week. The coaching carousel, it's turning again. We had podcast after podcast in December, January, and February really talking about the coaching movement. Well, suddenly the Wolverines are in the position again of replacing a coach and replacing one of their strongest recruiters, even though he never coached a game at Michigan. Before we dive into that, I want to remind you, if you like this podcast, be sure to rate it. Be sure to review it. If you've done those things, be sure to tell your friends all about the podcast. They can find it wherever they get their podcast, whatever platform they use. They can find the Michigan Recruiting Insider. Just search Michigan Insider Podcast and select Michigan Recruiting Insider. And there you'll have it. Joining me as they do every single week, the best crew on the Michigan beat, Steve Lorenz, once again this week. Steve, how are you?
Good. Fully recovered from a nasty sinus infection last week. So back at 100% today. Finally, today's really the first day I'm back at 100, ready to kind of get back at it. No shortage of news, obviously. So good.
Absolutely. And Bryce Marich, who seems like he's always 100%. Bryce, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. Just got a house, so I'm learning, things can go wrong with how quickly. So we're going through that process.
It's crazy that I'm so old that I knew Bryce when he was a middle schooler. Oh, I'm so old I knew Bryce as a middle schooler, calling it into the radio show saying, asking recruiting questions and saying, I want to cover recruiting. And now the dude has a house.
Got a house.
Good grief. Well, you know what comes after the house, right? I don't want to put it in the atmosphere, but I'm just saying. Anyway, man, the Michigan coaching staff, guys, it was complete, then it wasn't when Brian Jean-Marie left, right? Then they add Matt Weiss, move Ron Bellamy over. It's complete again. Now it's not, with the sudden departure of Mo Linguist, who was hired by Buffalo last Friday. They hired their coach in a week. Buffalo did. There's nothing you can do. You couldn't have predicted that cycle, that turn of events where Kansas would fire Les Miles because of some issues that took place at LSU that were uncovered from years ago. So they fire Les Miles and AD Jeff Long, both who are former Michigan guys, by the way. They take that month. They go and hire Lance Leopold from Buffalo, who had done a spectacular job. All things considered, taking Buffalo to 3 straight bowl games, 2 straight bowl victories, he decides to follow the same path of Turner Gill from Buffalo to Kansas, leaving Buffalo to search, and they go much faster than Kansas, though, and they land on a guy in Mo Linguist who had actually coached there before, Steve. That's the other piece of this equation, that Mo Linguist had coached at Buffalo for 2 seasons, so you have familiarity. You had opportunity, especially for a black coach, which those are fleeting in college football. You had him taking over a healthy mid-major program on top of it. It's just, you understand it from Mo Linguist's perspective, but it just sucks if you're Michigan that you're losing the guy who made a big splash on the recruiting trail right away.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's you. Anybody out there who's blaming Mo Linguist for taking a huge promotion to go from co-DC to running a football program, let alone one that you're familiar with and have coached at, props to him. That's an awesome achievement, an awesome opportunity for him. And it does suck for Michigan, right? I mean, there's that, but at the same time, I'd like to hear anybody who was panning him for taking the job, turn down a promotion if it was offered. I'm sure that they would turn down a promotion in the name of loyalty, or whatever, right? So, Michigan's got their work cut out for him to work to try to replace him. I know we talked about before Linguist was hired, the onus was on Michigan to hire a recruiter. of course, not at the cost of your coaching ability, but that being an elite recruiter, it was a huge part, a huge factor in the job. They obviously have to do that again. You can't shy. You can't go back or go in a different direction here. You have to hire somebody that can not only keep the current group together and solid, but can kind of help finish what Mo started. As far as, you know, Michigan had some pretty good momentum with a lot of defensive backs this cycle, and it is their biggest need in the cycle is getting more corners and just defensive back period. So that's where the pressure's on Michigan, Harbaugh to find the right fit. But yeah, it's definitely a situation where recruiting is the number one priority for this hire.
Yeah, Bryce, you might recall the conversation. Steve just laid it out, the conversations we had during that, you know, that entire hiring cycle about what do you prioritize? And for me, if you rewind the tape to the hiring cycle prior to that, in the aftermath of Chris Partridge leaving, right, Anthony Campanelli leaving, it felt like in that cycle that, you know, the coaching acumen was emphasized even at the expense of recruiting, because Bob Shoup is a seasoned vet in the game, longstanding coach, had been a head coach, had been a longtime defensive coordinator, had coached some top defenses, had a pre-existing relationship with Don Brown. But you might recall me saying at the time, you know, after the Shoup thing transpired, well, I said at the time, look, man, you know, this, it's a hit when you talk about tactically, but recruiting, you can't predict that he's going to add anything. You hope. Right, that with this profile behind him, he'll be able to get some guys. But there was nothing in Bob Shoup's resume that would make you think that he was a recruiter. When that all fell apart and fizzled out and he wasn't retained, you might recall me saying, in this cycle, just like Steve just said, they have got to prioritize recruiting. And I said, you can't hire a Bob Shoup when you got a Steve Klinkscale out there. Said that at the time. He goes out and gets Mo Linguist. And Mo Linguist was one of a number of guys that sort of fit that recruiting bill to really emphasize recruiting in a way that improved dramatically, in my opinion, and I think you agree, improved dramatically the presence on the recruiting trail of this staff.
So when Linguist got hired, one of the first things he did was offer to several kids from the state of Texas. I mean, he wasn't even, I don't think, officially hired. I wasn't sure, but he, you know, he got the job. He just hadn't tweeted it out, and he's already extending offers. So that's, you're talking about a 180 in terms of recruiting. That just shows you the type of guy he was and why he was such a perfect fit. I mean, you look at, you know, Victor's weekend and some of the guys they got coming up. One of the biggest surprises, Marquise Rolfs Killebrew. He's a Georgia commit. Michigan wasn't even on the radar. We weren't even talking about this kid. He's a top 100 player in the whole country. And he tweets out, I'm taking an official visit. Tags Linguist, and we're just talking about, again, the job he does. You know, we're talking about the territories, you know, Texas down south. So whoever Michigan's going to get is going to have to fill some big shoes, because Linguist showed he knows how to walk the talk and do the recruiting scene. I mean, he had Jordan Lewis get on the call with Will Johnson. So he knows the tactics. He knows how to work things. And so whoever they get going forward, priority will be recruiting. It should be, at least in my eyes.
Right. I think that it's important to emphasize what Steve said. You know, not at the absolute expense of coaching, right? I'm not saying you go out and get a guy who, you know, he's a really good recruiter in his spare time. You know, he's ordering sex toys like Zach Smith, right? He's not coaching. Oh. He's just doing the sex toy thing. Am I making it up? I'm not making it up. He was ordering sex toys, had them sent to the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Tell me I'm lying. I'm not lying. That's what he was doing in his spare time. So my point is, I'm not saying you go get a zero as a coach. You go get a guy who has a coaching resume, a coaching acumen. It might not be to the experience level of a Bob Shoup, but where was the gap biggest? Let's compare. For instance, just in that hiring cycle, because just for effect, I compared Bob Shoup to Steve Klinkscale. So was the gap wider between Bob Shute and Steve Klinkscale as a coach? Or was it wider between Steve Klinkscale as a recruiter and Bob Shute as a recruiter? I think it was the latter and not the former. I think, you know, in Klinkscale, he had proven to be a really, really good coach and an excellent recruiter, whereas Shute was a really, really good coach, but just didn't register on the Richter scale at all as a recruiter. They go out and they find a Mo linguist who registers in both categories. So I think that's the point to really hit on. Now comes the hard part, because you got some woe is me fans out there. I'm sure you guys have seen them, right? You lose Mo linguist. It is a loss, but they act like Mo linguist is the only guy that can recruit. Mo linguist is not the only guy out there that can recruit. Like you can find another recruiter out there. It may not be a recruiter. So how about this? It may not be a recruiter with the same sort of territorial presence. It might cause you to shift some guys around, right? But Michigan has some flexibility on its staff now. I mean, you got a Sherrone Moore that if you want it, you can drop different places. You got a Ron Bellamy that you could drop different places, right? So depending on who you get, Steve, you can move different guys around. You don't have to be hamstrung by thinking you have to find a guy who is in all the same places that Mo linguist was in.
So I would say, like, I think as far as coaching, like the type of situation like this, I think people should always save their reaction until you see who they hire to replace. That's the key to me. Because, yeah, no doubt losing Mo linguist, not optimal for Michigan, but let's see who they replace him with before you jump off the cliff again. If you're a Michigan fan, I guess, jump off the cliff again. Yeah, no. So the funny thing about linguist is there was the big push into Texas, and it's like my first thought about that was A, it was good, but B, that would have been so much better like 4 years ago, you know, when Charlie Strong struggling at Texas, Kevin Sumlin struggling at Texas A&M. Now you have Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M finishing the top five. Texas has that new car smell again with Sarkisian on staff. You always have Alabama, Oklahoma, LSU. Even, you know, Arkansas a little bit too, does some good work in Texas. Like, Texas is going to be harder now. And, well, Ohio State too. I mean, Ohio State's recruited Texas really well. It's arguably more contentious now than it has been in the last 10, 12 years probably. Not saying, you know, Michigan obviously, I think, was making some headway there. We don't know how those races would have finished. You know, you take a guy like Chase Biddle or some of these other guys, they were in good standing, but would they have been able to finish with them? That would have been interesting, but yeah, I always say wait till you see who they replace him with and then go from there. Because yeah, you talk about a guy like Klinkscale or some of the other names that have been talked about. These guys can recruit at the same elite level that Mo linguist can. Like you said, might not be in the same areas, but a big time prospect's a big time prospect. It doesn't necessarily matter geographically where you're pulling them in from. So that's always my thing. I know it's hard to be patient, you know, for people, but I just wait and see who they replace him with, and then you can react. If it's an underwhelming hire from a recruiting standpoint or just in general, then I feel like we've done a good enough job of being straight up and telling you that maybe, you know, could have done a little bit better, or this was a, you know, not the optimal hire. This, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, like I said, just be a little bit patient with it.
Absolutely. All right. So also a strategy here, Bryce, is, you know, you talk to your recruits. And if you're Jim Harbaugh, you absolutely get on the phone with Will Johnson. And worthy of note, because I talked to Will's dad, Dion, who is obviously a former Wolverine, very, very involved in, and he calls him William, very involved in William's recruiting and his thought process. And he made it a point to say that Will is not thinking about another school. Now, I won't sit here and tell you that is an absolute, like he never would. But the notion that he would automatically start now is because schools were calling. Make no mistake. All the schools that were recruiting him before, it was like sharks smelling blood in the water. They all hit him. They all hit him. Like, hey, what's up? Right? And so he rebuffed all the overtures because he's determined, he said, and told his dad, and his dad echoed that sentiment. He's determined to keep this class, not just keep the class together, but to also the guys that they're on, so Marquise Groves, Killebrew, Dylan Tatum, on the phone with Miles Pollard, on the phone with all those guys saying, hey, you know, this could all still work. This could all still be good. Let's all keep it even keel and stay on the path that we were on before. That is a huge, huge deal for Michigan, because if you're whether you're a fan or a coach, that has to be your biggest concern on the recruiting trail. Can you keep Will Johnson in the fold? And he seems, even before they got in contact with him, and from Jim Harbaugh to Ron Bellamy, all of them were hitting him too from Michigan staff. He gave them some welcome news that, hey, I'm locked in and I'm determined to help you guys keep these dudes in the fold and get other guys. Now let's talk about who else we can go get to come in and replace Mo Linguist. But I also think it speaks to his mindset that in the prior hiring cycle, when they didn't hire Klinkscale, it wasn't like that ended it. He didn't say, "Ah, well, you didn't hire the guy I said, so I'm going someplace else." Mo Linguist came in and he gave Mo Linguist the chance to really hit the ground running with him, forged a quick relationship with him. You know, JD had something to do with that, but he was all in for Mo Linguist. Now, he admitted that one of their concerns was that he wasn't going to be around long. I thought they obviously thought he was going to be around longer than 3 months, right? But they didn't think he was going to be around for Will's entire career. That was a concern. But it, like I said, it speaks to the mindset that this guy had. When Mo Linguist comes open, he says, "I'm in the fold." When Klinkscale wasn't hired the first time, he still joined the fold. This is a dude who is seriously all in for Michigan and is a major, major asset on the recruiting trail. Talking to guys left and right, we profiled on the last show, the last podcast, Bryce, where he's talking to Luther Burden and the coach. I mean, he's telling the coaches, "Hey, I could get Luther Burden on the visit." They're like, "Oh, okay." Let's see if we can make it happen. Good problems to have, right? Good problems to have if you're the Michigan coaching staff. So fortunate for them, they have that one locked up, and it's shaping up to be still a big time June when it comes to the visit list. One guy that they would love to be on it, but's gonna be coming on it during the season, guys, is Josh Connerly. So Josh Connerly, a 5-star offensive lineman. I believe he's the number 15 prospect in the country. We've talked about in the past Michigan's recruiting profile being boosted with him in the aftermath of Courtney Morgan coming on. Without question, fellas, that was huge. Sherrone Moore had already done some work, as you pointed out, Steve, putting Michigan in play, but they have become even more prominent since Courtney has come into the fold.
Rightfully a 5-star too. I think he finally just got there. To me, he's always been a no-brainer as a 5-star. Yeah, this is a weird one. You know, Michigan's had some success in the state of Washington in the past. Was it Stephen Schilling?
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's yeah.
Right.
I think there was a couple. I think there's somebody else too. But even with like guys they didn't get, I remember Henry Bainvalu, a few 4 or 5 cycles. They've gotten guys to campus from that area of the country. So he was a guy. It's always felt worth pursuing for the visit, because the visit's going to be of the utmost importance in this recruitment, obviously. So, but yeah, no. I mean, this is one where, you know, things have been a little quiet on the offensive line recruiting wise. You know, I think we've talked a little bit before about Sherrone having to rebuild some relationships and build new ones with guys that maybe we felt like they should have been recruiting but weren't. And this will be a really good litmus test to see, you know, where Michigan can kind of get, you know, because I still say, you know, Sherrone Moore to get Daxon Hill out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, huge. Still one of the best recruiting jobs that I can remember since I've been doing this. So definitely a situation where you don't want to count him out in any big time recruitment. And then, like you said, you had Courtney Morgan in the fold, gives them another ace up their sleeve in that regard. So, this is a big one. This is classic. It will come down to getting him up there and seeing how that visit goes and going from there. Because, yeah, I mean, you got he's got everybody, right? I mean, he's going to have everybody after him. So will be a fun recruitment and one that I, you know, what, probably before Moore got moved over, probably one we really weren't thinking
right
much about or talking much about. You know, now here they are. To me, maybe the number one, I think he's right there. You know, could be one of the best offensive linemen in the country, if not the best.
Yeah, Bryce, you've talked about before how this was a Sherrone Moore doing some work to get Michigan in play. Courtney comes in. He had recruited a teammate of Josh's at Fresno State, which we pointed out before, didn't offer Josh because you aren't getting Josh Connerly at Fresno State, right? So, but he gets to Michigan and immediately, he established relationship, gets to Michigan and immediately, gets Michigan in play. because of that relationship and also because of connection. So Steve mentioned that you can go back in time, you know, the early 2000s, Michigan got a couple of guys out of Washington. Larry Stevens is the guy from up there, I believe, in Tacoma. And then on the basketball side of things, they got Jamal Crawford. And so I talked to his dad about it. He said, yeah, Jamal Crawford is a major presence at Rainier Beach, which is the high school. That's Jamal Crawford's high school. That's where Josh Connerly goes to school. And they know each other, which I talked to his dad. We'll be hearing from him shortly. But this is another one of those times where connections, man, where they're working those connections in a really, really effective way. And then you look across another factor on top of those connections. And his dad speaks at length about this, and it's worthy of note here. He sees all of the African-American coaches and administrators. And he said, you know, from Courtney, Ashawn, you know, on the coaching staff, in the athletic department. That's a huge thing too, when it comes to seeing so many black coaches and administrators, so many African Americans in positions of authority. That's really resonating with Connerly as well.
Yeah, I mean, anything you can use in recruiting, you use. And if those, it's prior relationships, like you said, with Courtney Morgan, or just one he's building now with Sharon Moore, or simply going all the way back to Jamal Crawford. I mean, you use anything in recruiting. And, you know, I remember his recruitment because when he got the offer back in April, it was from Ed Warner. And so, you know, he talked to me and said, you know, I really enjoyed the conversation I had with Coach Warner. You know, I want to learn more about the school and take a visit up there. Well, suddenly he's gone. And so you just think, man, Michigan's out. You know, there's no way Michigan could enter this race again. And suddenly you have, again, Sharon Moore, who I feel, you know, offensive line recruiting, he's been dealt a, you know, tough hand. It's just, yeah, there's so many guys that he's kind of, you know, he's kind of behind the eight ball with, you know, and this is one of those scenarios. But like Steve said, if anyone's going to pull Michigan out of the mud and get them up to the forefront, it's going to be Coach Moore. And one of the first phone calls he made when he got the position as offensive line coach was with Connerly. And so obviously he's risen up the rankings. I know Michigan identified him pretty early and they saw a five-star themselves, 6'5", 275 road grader. But the big thing with his recruitment that I've been told is he's willing to look outside the Pacific Northwest. It's not like he's one of those kids who's set to stay home. He's willing to check out schools like Michigan. And so, again, if you can get him up on a visit, unofficial, official, whatever it is, all bets are off. You know, I mean, at that point, you can impress. And we've talked about, and I think even Steve Wilfong has said this too, Michigan just excels once they get these kids on campus. Once they see the atmosphere, the facilities, meet the coaches, that's where they seem to really hit their stride and knock it out of the park. And that could happen with Connerly as well. And for him still to be receptive to Michigan after the whole coaching turnover, that's a positive as well.
Huge in the grand scheme of things. I had the opportunity to chat with Josh Connerly Sr., who said what you just did, Bryce, that his son is open to leaving not just the state but the region. He would probably be visiting during this big visit month, but his baby sister is, they're expecting her to be born in June, so he's only going to visit locally in that time, which you understand. But, hey, you can make the case for the season maybe being a better time frame for a, you know, West Coast guy, not a region guy, to come in anyway. So you can certainly make that case. But great conversation with Josh Connerly Sr., really laying out the criteria that his son is looking at, the appeal of Michigan. We'll get into all of those things with Josh Connerly Sr. on the other side here on the Michigan Recruiting Insider.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Recruiting Insider. Pleased to be joined by the father of one of the top prospects in the entire country from Seattle Rainier Beach, Josh Connerly Sr. Welcome to the show, Mr. Connerly. Let's jump right into it. Take us into when you first realized that, Josh was a little bit different than all of the other guys out there, kids out there on the football field. When did you kind of realize he was special on the field?
I realized Joshua was special when I would say when he first started playing, even before, when Joshua was five, he wanted to play football. So I brought him out, and they told me, oh, he's too young. He has the size, but he doesn't have the age. So I could tell from when he was real small that he was going to be a football player, And once he got the pads and helmets, when we came out, when he turned six, that's all he talked about. That's all he wanted to watch. That's all he wanted to do. And I knew he was going to be special, but, physically, I think it was when he was, I'd probably say in eighth grade, he was a running back. He didn't play on the line. He started off as a running back, and then he moved to tight end in high school his freshman year, and then he outgrew that position, and then that's when he became offensive tackle. But I would say his eighth grade year, I knew he was going to be something different.
So was that tough for him, being a guy who was used to having a ball in his hands, making plays, going from doing that to being the guy that paved the way for the plays to be made? Was that tough for him?
When he realized, yeah, I would say it was. But once he got used to, playing the position, once he got a little bit more comfortable with it, he fell in love with it.
Okay. All right. And so colleges, at some point, the colleges come calling with – scholarship offers and attention. When did that really start to pick up?
He got his first offer from Tennessee. That was October 2019. And after that, I mean, they just kept rolling in. Joshua, I've heard from scouts that he's real gifted with his feet. He got good speed. For a lineman, he got feet like no other from a lot of people, from a lot of people's opinions.
Okay. All right. So as far as he has all these offers, he's one of the top prospects in the country. Is it still fun or has it gotten overwhelming? And I'm talking about from his perspective and from your perspective as his dad. I mean, how is the process for you guys right now?
I'm happy, man. I like meeting new people. I like, speaking about my son. I'm extremely proud of him because I know how much work he's put in on and off the field. I'm just extremely proud and just, honored that a lot of, coaches and schools want him on their team and in their college. It's it's an honor. For my son, I feel like he gets overwhelmed at times, but I just tell him, you know, son, this is what comes with the territory. And once you, you know, get on some visits and, you know, shake some hands and get to meet some people and decide on what school you go, you'll go to, it won't be as overwhelming. But he's a little overwhelmed for me. I'm fine with it.
Gotcha. All right. So let's, you know, pretend for a second that it's down the line and your son is getting ready to make his decision. When he does that, what are going to be the most significant factors in that choice? Like, what are the things, what are the factors that you're telling him to prioritize?
I would say, first off, whatever he's going to, you know, get a degree in. That's very important to me because I want him to have something to fall back on after football. And then if he, I want him to be comfortable wherever he's at and he's a part of a family. You know, I spend a lot of time with him and I want him to go to a place where he still has that figure, role model type, but he's comfortable with that.
Do you think at the end of the day, distance from home is going to be a factor for him?
No.
All right. So all of these offers, Michigan is one of the more distant teams looking at him. So what is the appeal of Michigan? What has it been? What have your impressions of Michigan been to this point?
I'm personally impressed. I like how they have a diverse coaching staff. I like how, Coach Harbaugh has NFL experience. I like the Michigan man philosophy. I think that's very important, especially with raising a young man into a man. I'm impressed.
What about Josh? Like, who is he connected with the most at Michigan so far? Has it been Sharon Moore? I mean, what coaches has? What coach or coaches has he connected with the most to this point?
Coach Moore, for sure. And also Coach Morgan. They've been on the phone quite a bit.
Okay. So as his dad, I mean, yeah, give me your impressions, your thoughts on Coach Moore based on what you've just, you know, heard from him on the phone or virtual visit so far.
He's a Oklahoma guy. So out of most of the coaches that are there, they're not from, he's not from Michigan, but a lot of the other guys are, they're Michigan men, but I'm impressed. I like him. He seems down to earth. I like how he played offensive line in college so he can give good pointers and give Joshua, you know, good solid advice when it comes to that position. I'm all around impressed with Michigan.
Okay. So you mentioned Courtney Morgan, who, you know, obviously just took the helm as the director of player personnel, but he played at Michigan too. I was talking to Brandon Huffman. He said that, you know, he came to Michigan already knowing Josh, already being connected in high school. So, I mean, it's you knew, I know Josh knew him, but you knew Courtney before this too?
I didn't know Courtney. Joshua knew Courtney because he recruited one of Joshua's teammates to Fresno State when he was there. And from he thought Joshua wouldn't be interested in Fresno State. He thought it was too small of a school, but they were in contact. But once he got to Michigan, that's when he felt like that was a good fit for my son.
I gotcha. So you mentioned something, man, that I've heard a few parents say or offer about this new coaching staff, talking about the diversity of it and how they were impressed by it. Can you explain it from a parental perspective? Why that matters? Why is that important? Why is that impressive to you?
Being a African American father, I'm not saying that plays a huge role, but it is a little different from other coaching staffs, and it's almost like you have more like an uncle or family feel when you're being told or coached by someone the same ethnicity as you. Mm-hmm. Not saying that's a determining factor, but it does play a role. you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. I've heard the same thing from other parents. Now, Rainier Beach is not foreign territory for Michigan. They got 20 years ago, Jamal Crawford came from there. Is there any connection at all to Jamal? Do you guys know him at all?
I don't know Jamal personally, but I mean, he's definitely a part of our community and he's around a lot. I know my son speaks with him quite a bit. I'm not sure if they've had a conversation about, you know, Michigan, but I'm sure with due time, they'll definitely, Josh will be asking them some questions.
I gotcha. Okay. All right. So as far as visits are concerned, I read one of his updates. He'll only be taking one in the month of June because he said he's expecting a baby sister in that month. But as far as his remaining visits, have you guys discussed, you know, any at least firm destinations, if not dates, and will Michigan be on that list?
Yeah, that's all undecided until, you know, my wife has her baby. I just don't want to risk my wife having the baby
right
out on a visit. You know, I want to give that my wholehearted, you know, attention. I don't want to be out on a visit knowing that's going on. So,
yeah,
out of respect for me and his mother, you know, he's going to wait for any official visits.
I got you. That makes sense. And then, so timeline for making a decision. I mean, have you guys talked about when a decision will be made? Is he going to be a guy who waits until signing day? Will he make a decision before that and just wait to announce it on signing day? How's that going to play out?
He's going to announce All-American game January 8th, 2022.
Okay. Now, is he going to enroll someplace early? Or is he going to go all the way through and you know, graduate with the rest of his class?
That's undecided right now. I mean, he has all of the credits. He's in line to graduate early with all of the credits. He's been a 4.0 student since, well, he's been 3.8 and above since his freshman year. So that's undecided at this time.
Okay. And has he announced any teams sticking out for him yet?
No. But Michigan, they're definitely on the map. I can tell you that.
Okay. All right. All right. And my very last question for you, Mr. Connerly, you told me the things that Josh likes and that you like about Michigan. What are the biggest questions that you guys have about Michigan at this point?
A lot of it is just how the culture is, how's the weather. I know it gets cold over there, but how cold does it get? When it comes to his scholarship, you know, if something, you know, major happens, will he still be, you know, covered to get a degree, or will they just boot him off the team? Those are questions that, you know, I have as a father.
I appreciate you taking the time tonight.
All right. You have a good day. Good evening.
You too, man. Yeah, I know. West Coast. Yeah, man. I appreciate it, though. Thanks a lot.
All right. You have a good one.
All right. You too. And that was Josh Connerly Sr. giving us the outlook, giving us the lowdown on his son's recruitment, Michigan's place in it. It's pretty clear Michigan is going to be a school under heavy consideration for the duration, even as an out-of-region school. And that'll do it for this edition of the Michigan Recruiting Insider. I want to remind those of you who do not subscribe to the MichiganInsider.com that you can join up now for just a dollar. Get you your first month, the inside dirt on team news, on football and basketball recruiting. You cannot beat it. An awesome value. You get the Recruiting Insider every single day on the MichiganInsider.com. And of course, about this podcast, be sure to rate it and review it. If you've already done those things, tell your friends about it. They can find this podcast on whatever platform they use, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, you name it. Just search Michigan Insider Podcast and up they'll come. Select Michigan Recruiting Insider and you'll find us. And you'll find us back here next week on the next edition of the Michigan Recruiting Insider.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.